In today's episode, you'll learn generative AI's potential in the world of nonprofits. We explore the opportunities and challenges AI brings and why many nonprofits are slow to embrace the technology. We also explore the future of social impact with generative AI and how nonprofits can get started. Let's make a difference. Hi, everyone. I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So my guest today is Kyle Behrend. He is the founder of NFPS.ai. So thank you very much, Kyle, for joining us today.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the opportunity, Kyle.
So Kyle, let's get into our topic today, which is, you know, it's a hot topic around the world. It's AI, specifically generative AI. And we're going to be focusing on artificial intelligence in the nonprofit sector. So can you share with our audience how generative AI or AI in general is beginning to play a role in the nonprofit sector?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, Gen AI is taking over. It seems to be the hot topic. If I were to pick one word, I suppose, in terms of how it's impacting nonprofits, it would probably be slowly. Surprisingly, you know, I thought earlier this year in particular, once so much of these new announcements came out with ChatGPT, I was like, this is revolutionary. This is the answer to so many problems that nonprofits face, not having, you know, knowledgeable or skilled persons in specific areas, not able to leverage, you know, technology in specific ways. And I was like, wow, like this is it. This is the game-changing technology that they've been waiting for. And adoption has been incredibly slow. I think the potential is there, but I think nonprofits in particular just don't know what to do with it yet.
And I believe, and you know, we've had this conversation before the show where I think there is a hype maybe in the news and hype among the people who use AI on a regular basis. But for the general population, the companies, the nonprofits, it feels like it's just another thing, another tool that they have to pay attention to with a higher learning curve, right? Even though we think that, you know, using tools like ChatGPT and some of the other ones that we use, there's still a learning curve on how to use it. You can't just, you know, Google something and then you'll get a response, but you won't get, like, you know, the in-depth, amazing responses that we're used to. And I think it's, for me, I think it's not just nonprofits. I think it's just in general where the technology is moving so fast that before people have time to actually learn, ingest, and actually get used to it, there's something new.
Completely agree. I think there's a couple points. I think I heard a quote, I can't remember where it was a while back, but it said, you know, if this technology were to stop advancing and just be exactly what it is today, it would still take us a couple of years to figure out all the use cases for it. And I think that is definitely true. We are so new to understanding what this can do. And to your point, I think one of the problems potentially with ChatGPT and other large language models is that they do always give us an answer. They do always provide us with a feedback. So if we're doing a fundraising email, I could ask ChatGPT, please write me a fundraising email, and it will write me a fundraising email. It won't be usable. I'm going to have to go and tweak it to provide all the different context of what the organization is and what they're trying to fundraise for and the amount and the timeline. And as you say, it's a learning curve in terms of actually understanding how to prompt, how to communicate with these models so that you get the best possible output from them. And I think that's why these, what are called, you know, API wrapper type applications have been so popular. So for anyone that's listening, they may not know, you know, an API wrapper is almost an application that leverages off ChatGPT and their AI powers, but, you know, changes the interface, expands on some usability. And I find that nonprofits in particular are way more open to using something like that, which is just kind of more plug and play type of thing that stores their details, where they don't really have to learn the intricacies about prompting and what goes into a prompt, especially, as you say, with such limited time and resources, and nonprofits in particular, small ones with, if any, probably none, but if any, a very small skill set in terms of IT that they can leverage off of.
Well, let's shift to being a little bit optimistic then. So in terms of growth potential, maybe let's start there. For nonprofits, where do you see AI providing that benefit to enhance their outreach and fundraising? How about we start at that point and maybe give some potential uses that nonprofits can do?
Yes, and I definitely don't want to sound pessimistic at all. As I said, I think this technology has the potential to completely revolutionize the way that they operate. I think we're just walking this path of figuring out how we can actually implement it into these organizations. In terms of potential, yeah, there is so much. I think when we start identifying specific pain points and problems that these organizations have, and then identifying how AI can be a tool to actually amplify or elevate this, this is where it gets really exciting. So just one example, working with an animal sanctuary, and we're trying to engage with their donors in a new and unique way. And traditionally, you know, you make a donation to an organization, you get a thank you email back, and that's, you know, potentially the end of the journey. But AI is opening up a whole range of new possibilities. We're looking at how we can, you know, create custom DALL-E type images thanking the person that can be automatically texted to them, that we could leverage text-to-speech or 11 Labs type voice cloning, that we can generate personalized thank you messages that are sent to them, as well as incorporating some of the fun aspects of the animal sanctuary, which has these animals that they can use, you know, cute images or even voices of the animals in the background. And I think that coming together creates a much more personalized experience that isn't so manual. I mean, to manually go and do this is a lot of work, but to automate this can be quite cheap, and, you know, pop it into a make.com scenario. All of a sudden, this amplifies your engagement that you have with these donors, bringing them along on your journey with you.
You know, that automation, I think the key thing here is, where can AI be, helps make either people more productive or really saves a lot of time, like becoming more efficient? And I know for nonprofits, a lot of them, they do a lot of writing grants, right? Like grant applications. I've heard of some causes that are hundreds every year, just writing application after application, trying to get funding. So I can imagine if you can set up like very simple AI automation where you put in the criteria of whichever grant that you're applying for, and then a prompt that instructs, you know, I want you to write in this way, and, you know, take into the consideration the application and the eligibility and so on. And that alone would save you. And if you can do that hundreds of times, think about how many hours would be saved from, you know, writing every single one of these applications individually. From what I've seen, some of them are pretty in-depth.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think there's two ways to approach this. We spoke before and said that it's almost like we have solutions and that we are searching for problems for. And I don't know what the right analogy is, but I'm kind of like, the way I'm thinking about it is almost like there's like a top-down approach and then a bottom-up approach. I'm thinking the top-down is you kind of see these technologies and you experiment and you're like, wow, what is the potential? Like expand our current offerings, and that donation thank you, you know, using voice cloning and image creation is an example of that. But then I'm thinking the bottom up is more where you are working within these organizations, finding these specific pain points, and then leveraging technology to, as you say, increase their productivity. And one automation that I've been working and implementing is an email automatic drafter. Well, I need to get a better terminology for it. But the idea is that an email comes in, you know, these nonprofits could be flooded with emails, and AI can actually identify what type of email it is. We have a test to run the specific criteria. Is it an email asking to unsubscribe from their email list? Is it an email asking to change their donation or make a donation? Is it about something else? And from those different flows, you then can leverage AI to draft replies based on the organization's FAQs or training material, a communication style guide, and all while keeping the human in the loop. So this is a philosophy that, you know, we share, where we're not about automating completely everything, but we want to use these tools to almost draft something like a personal assistant would, that a human can check over, make any changes or tweaks, and then send. And so you have this automation running in the background where you're getting hundreds of emails a day, and AI is just filtering them through, forwarding them on to specific people that need it, unsubscribing them from email lists and drafting a reply. And then you log into your inbox and you open the email and you've got the draft sitting right there that you can quickly look over, make any tweaks, check, and then send. I think that in itself can save hundreds and hundreds of hours, because we're doing what it can do best. Pattern recognition, identify the specific criteria that identify or that mark what an email is about, and then using AI that's trained on the specific organization's material to then draft something in their style, tone, in the communication guide that is really valuable to them.
And just by you describing, you know, the hours saved, how easy this could be, and it's literally just doing it automatically for you. So this, the email draft, we can draft an email for you. It automatically segments these emails. Why do you think from the nonprofit sector, it's slow for them to adopt AI? Because if you think of some of the use cases, like, it's a no-brainer.
I think there's a few things. I think one is lack of resources, like staff and volunteers who actually are comfortable with this technology or have the time to do it, and time and resources. I think to actually have to go and invest and look into this technology and how to set these automations up themselves can be quite difficult. I often think, you know, if you were a not-for-profit that had the resources, the best thing you could do is take a staff member who's excited about this technology, take all the work off of them for the next month, go and put them into a prompting course for 1 week, put them into an automation course for the next week, and then a no-code development tool like Softr or Frontly for the next week. And all of a sudden, you can start piecing these components together to create, you know, really unique and problem-solving solutions for these organizations. But I think they're just so busy that they don't even have the opportunity to look at it. And I don't think they know what is possible. This has taken me, you know, quite a few months to get to this point where finally, I'm kind of like, okay, you know, we can use chatbots internally and externally. It only comes through experimentation that I've found that, and working with you and learning about hallucinations as well. That was probably one of the strangest insights that I had, where external facing chatbots, a chatbot on a website where users are engaging with it, a hallucination where the chatbot just makes something up, makes up a URL or just create something that doesn't exist, is very problematic. But when used internally, so a team that's creating resources or social media posts, hallucinations can be incredibly beneficial because it points out the gaps that they have in their knowledge, in the resources that they provide, and in what they present online. And so I was like, you know, this is amazing, but it takes experimentation, it takes time, and it takes implementation skills. So I think the combination of those things is making it a bit difficult for organizations.
I think you're right in that this is one, to me, this is one of the few technologies that, or actually maybe the only technology that it's evolving so, so fast that there isn't enough time to learn it. Like if you look back in the history of major technological revolutions from, I'm still thinking website, but even like printing press or the wheel or things like that, there was time for people to learn, adapt, overcome fear, understand it, right? Like there was, it wasn't just, oh, here's the wheel, but now here's the combustion engine, here's the car, here's the, and now it's like, oh, here's fuel cells, here's electric car. I feel like that entire innovation process over decades is all being compressed into months. So for people to, like, let's just take the electric car, right? It takes a while for people to like, oh, you know, like there's obviously the early adopters, but then slowly people are like, oh, great, you know what? Like a Tesla, and then all these other manufacturers are coming out. But that took a long time for people to get their heads around, maybe not even understanding the technology, but feeling comfortable enough to use it. You're talking about a technology that is within months, it's something else, something else, something else. Like OpenAI announcement yesterday, but then in 2 months, there'll be something else. So it's fascinating. The speed is actually a big detriment and a bit of an issue with mass adoption because you can't learn it fast enough. And people like you and me, we would spend hours, you know, taking courses, experimenting, you know, using our spare time to do this. But that's because we have an interest. For some people who don't, they won't have those skills that we've gained. And then I think that's just, it just widens the gap between people who use it frequently, people who don't. And then the education level starts. That's where, you know, there's a big discrepancy then.
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic because I'm all for innovation and I can't wait to see where this technology goes. But as you say, it's expanding that knowledge gap, and it's incredibly challenging to try and educate people when it keeps changing. I did a webinar last week on prompting, and some of what I've said is already obsolete because of how ChatGPT has completely changed in 1 week. I do videos every week that I send out, a couple videos with tutorials about Midjourney, ChatGPT. Same thing. A lot of these videos that I've created over the past couple of months do not relate anymore because the interfaces have changed or the way that these programs work has completely changed. And so where does this knowledge sit? It's almost like this dead knowledge of how things used to work, but so quickly, so recently, it was only a couple months ago that they worked this way, and now all of a sudden they work this way. As you said, ChatGPT, OpenAI's developer announcements, you know, just expanding their token limit on ChatGPT is just one component that makes a huge difference. But that's just one piece of many that they announced yesterday that takes time for everyone to understand what is the roll-on effect for this. Okay, great. It can take in more data, but is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? It depends how we're using it. Is that going to affect the prompting that we do? Is this going to affect the longer outputs? How does this compare to other models like Claude? Like, there's so much that needs to be experimented and explored. And even for myself personally, who's living in this world, I find it incredibly difficult to keep up. There's There's so many tools to explore, so many ways to do things, but that always kind of grounds me, I think, when I try and think back to what is the specific problem that these organizations are facing, such as, you know, content creation or emails or grant writing, fundraising emails, and creating some type of solution that can expand over time. Because I recognize also that a lot of these nonprofits or organizations don't really care how the solution is found. It could be AI, it could be an automation, it could be a combination of them, it could be a different software suite. As long as we're solving the specific problem, I think they're going to be happy. How it works in the back end, the invisibility of it, maybe doesn't matter as much. And that's where I'm kind of like, you know, is it good that it advances so quickly? Because that gives us more opportunities in the solutions that we develop. But at the same time, I think it does make it harder for people to learn and, as you say, expand that knowledge gap.
And I think that's that is another issue too, where we know what we know. Like, for example, you know, AI assistants, even, you know, we make fun of plugins. I don't think we actually delve deep enough into the potential opportunities that plugins had. Like, I know there's a lot of hype. It's like, it's going to replace the App Store, whatever that is. But if you think about it now, plugins only came out when? A couple months ago? Like, right? It's there wasn't enough time for people to actually get their heads around it and actually get in. I was like, oh, here's some really cool use cases, because it's too fast. There's something else. So that is kind of the danger, is that you're not getting everybody looking at it and thinking of ideas that none of us can all think of. And that's what I fear with all these announcements, is that without the proper education, it isn't just about using, it's about using it natively in a way that is, that's where the magic is. That's where the amazing things happen, is when people think about these things, but there's not enough people having the skills or the understanding to do it. But I do want to shift to one of the issues in AI is ethics, is safety and responsibility. And from a nonprofit sector side, what are some concerns or challenges around ethics and safety that, you know, nonprofits have to be aware of?
This is a very big topic, one that I think we still navigating through day by day as things change. Within the whole AI community, with nonprofits in particular, I always advocate that transparency is incredibly important. You know, you are relying on donors, people giving you money to fulfill your mission. And I think being honest and open and transparent about what you're doing with that is very important. And so the first thing that I would recommend is definitely developing an AI policy. Whether you share that externally is up to the organization, but at least get everyone on the same page within your organization about how you are going to use AI. Because potentially some people could be using it for copywriting that you don't know about. Some people could be using it for image generation that the organization doesn't know about. Adopting an organization-wide policy, I think, is the first step. And then secondly, constantly reviewing that, because as we said, this technology changes so rapidly, need to be on top of not even changing that policy, but just checking in every couple of months and saying, okay, are we still comfortable with the way we're using this technology and adapting and changing as needed? The other point is there's going to be two different pools of thought, I think, with how these organizations use AI. There's going to be some supporters and some donors that are going to say, I want you to be using AI more because I don't want a lot of my money going to the admin costs. So if you can automate so much of this work that normally is done by a human, like, do it, because that's great. That means that more of the money that I give you can go to the causes, the you know, the mission, whatever you're actually trying to do. On the other side, I think there's going to be people that are concerned about organizations using more AI to automate things, because we do have this potential of job loss. We do have this potential of moving away from, you know, some type of authenticity that they have if everything's just created through automations and ChatGPT and DALL-E. So it's going to be a really interesting space, and I don't know what the answer to this is. I think each organization really does need to sit down and have the discussion as that starting point to actually see where they're at and review it regularly and be open and transparent. The other part about fundraising is going to be a really interesting one, because I think AI can definitely expand the donor's journey. But AI can also be used to enhance the fundraising aspects of an organization. If they're collecting data about a donor, when they donate, how much they donate, when their birthday is, you know, all this type of data can be used in a way to almost manipulate, I suppose, for lack of a better word, a donor to donate more times or more amount of money. And I've seen a few CRMs that are promoting this now. And again, I don't know where I stand on this. Nonprofits need money. They need donations. But if they are going to be using a system like this, are they going to be transparent about it? Are they going to say, you know, we've recorded your past donation data, so this personalized email has been tweaked using AI to try and get the most amount of donations from you? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's a very strange play, because personalization has been around for a few years. It's an important aspect of communicating, especially en masse, to supporters and donors. We want them to feel engaged. We want them to feel valued and that they are part of us, part of the organization. But does this take it too far?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, corporations are going to use it. There's no doubt. There's already a lot of psychology that goes into how they set up a supermarket and what products are placed on different types of shelves. You know, we constantly manipulate it, again, for lack of a better word, into purchasing products and doing things that we possibly wouldn't have done otherwise. So naturally, this will flow on into the nonprofit space. But yeah, if it's good or if it's bad or if it's right or if it's wrong, that I don't know.
in that ability to create using an AI and create en masse, yeah, there's a lot of questions around it, because you can see where this is kind of going. Probably this is a little bit far-fetched more in the nonprofit space. But you can kind of see it, let's say, in the recruitment space, where applicants for jobs are using AI to create their cover letters, their resumes. And then on the other side, because there's a lot of applications, recruiters and companies are starting to use AI to filter. So essentially what you're getting is an AI applying to an AI filter. And so it's AI connecting with AI. So, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because maybe there's a point where there's a system, like from a nonprofit side, that, hey, do you really need to apply to 100 different grants? Because maybe, you know, through AI interacting with AI, eventually you'll know that of the 100 grants, most likely only 25 will actually be applicable to your cause or have a higher chance to fund you. So, and maybe that's the helpful side, but the other side would be maybe the AI is discriminating against your ability to apply to different causes that for some reason, I mean, a grant that for some reason or another, they just happen to fund you. So there's a lot of really, really weird gray areas in there, especially, like, you know, everyone not everyone, but the potential for people to use AI, you know, to make their work easier, but it's now limiting that human connection. So it's not human connection anymore. It's just machine connection. And it's just ranking you based on, you know, what the most likely outcome is, which I would have an issue with that too, because it's not always the most likely outcome.
Yeah. And I would hate for it to become a competition almost in who can use AI better.
Yes.
The situation that you explained, exactly. If me and you are both applying for a job, we don't want it to come down to, you know, who can prompt AI better to generate a cover letter to then try and win over the AI that is analyzing our cover letters.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I think part of this, in a way, may bring back more of that human connection. I think this will force places to do more, you know, face-to-face type of interactions, because that is the only way you're going to actually know the truth, the authenticity, the realness of that conversation of that person.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what will happen. You know, you put in a grant application, and then the final few actually have to meet face to face with the organization and present their case. I don't know. It's, yeah. How it's going to play out, I don't know. I think it can go, I personally think it can go too far that then we do backtrack to do more of this personal to person type connection.
So if you were to provide, you know, maybe some starting advice to nonprofit like organizations today, you know, just getting started in the AI space, what are some tips or strategies that you would provide?
I think, as I said before, you know, first identifying their pain points. What are the things that are taking either a huge amount of time and resources, or things that they individual people actually hate doing? I think that's one of the great things about AI is using it to do the things that you either hate or that you're not particularly good at. We're all humans, we all have different skills in different areas, and we can't be expected to be great in every single area. And I think firstly identifying those specific pain points and problems, and then starting to ideate potential solutions, and to go very, very slowly and small and experiment. So I think ChatGPT is the perfect starting point for any of these organizations to both ideate and come up with solutions. So I explained in the prompting webinar last week that ChatGPT can give you the answers as much as, or it can give you the questions as much as it can the answers. And what I mean by that is, if you don't actually know what to provide to ChatGPT, ask it. Say, I'd like to write a fundraising email. Please ask me whatever questions you need to get the context and information that you require to provide the best possible fundraising email. And it'll be really interesting. You actually see the criteria, the different components that it asks for that will help these organizations learn about how to actually engineer their prompts, how to start structuring their prompts. And then from there, they can just keep growing and expanding out. I think, as I said, you know, if there is a person on staff or volunteer who's committed and interested in this technology to use that, to take them off what they're doing and get them some type of training, get them onto some courses, even just watching YouTube videos or AI communities, because there's so much value out there already that they can then grab those little pieces, start implementing it into the organizations and experiment from there. It's only from the experimentation that I feel that more use cases come about. We spoke about the internal chatbots with hallucinations. There's no way that when I first started doing chatbots, I would have been promoting hallucinations as a great thing for these organizations to be able to leverage to expand their the resources and products that they have. Now it's like, wow, this actually came about organically. And I think so much of this is going to come from that. And I would also say sharing, you know, share this knowledge with other organizations, whether that be, you know, by joining community groups or, you know, LinkedIn or Facebook groups. Actually share what you've learned with others, because we're all growing together. And nonprofits in particular have so much to gain from this. You're not losing anything by sharing a tip or a trick that you've learned. And you're helping everyone grow together, and then it will elevate how all of us use AI and the potentials that we have.
So Kyle, can you tell us a little bit more about NFPS and what some of the work you're doing in the AI space?
Yeah, so that too has evolved over the last few months. As I said, when I first got really into AI earlier this year, I was, this is it. This is the key that nonprofits have needed for so long. And as I've kind of been navigating through, I've realized that there's almost some core components that need to be broken down. So part of that is education. So I provide a weekly newsletter with some updates and videos about how they can actually start engaging and using AI technology. The other part is consulting and solutions. So finding these common pain points that all nonprofits face, such as, you know, the email automation or web scraping. Another one is very common for organizations is to want to record every time they're mentioned in the media. Online is very easy now because we can do web scraping automations and populate that into an Airtable or Google Sheet. Again, just saving resources. Another one is reporting on donations and volunteers. It can be really challenging to get a data analysis or a statistician on staff at a nonprofit if they get one at all. But we can now leverage AI to run reports on donation amounts over a specific time period or volunteering and actually pick up trends and help identify how these organizations can navigate through the changes. So part of it is education and really trying to broaden this reach and show people what can be done. And the other part is a bit more hands-on, getting into the organizations, implementing some solutions, and then seeing if that can be provided to other organizations.
So Kyle, I know we could talk about this topic for hours upon hours upon hours, but if our audience wants to connect with you, learn more about NFPS, where's the best place to reach you?
Yeah, so my website is nfps.ai, so nfps.ai, so not-for-profits.ai abbreviation, or LinkedIn. So I'm posting lots of stuff on LinkedIn. We just had a 30-day prompt challenge, and I'm into a 30-day automation challenge. So if you'd like to actually see process that I go through and me learning as I build, that's definitely a great place to follow.
Learn more from other social impact professionals by watching this playlist here. Thanks for joining, and we'll catch you next episode.